Well, folks, take a look inside your grace notes there. You can follow along. And today we're talking about rising strong, get back up. I think several of us throughout our lives have had some tough times. We've had some moments where we've gotten down and we've been frustrated and upset. But today I want to talk about that reckoning time in our life when we realize it is time to turn things around. It is time to change. And so every day we get up. We get up in the morning and we each have our routines, right? We have our set of routines that we have, our habits. Some of them actually are so ingrained in us, we don't even think about them anymore. And we have these habits that are in our life. And so hopefully your habits include, I know some of you like to drink coffee, good for you, get you fired up for the morning, right? Yeah? And brush your teeth, shower, get ready, get off to work or school, take the kids. You have this set of criteria of times, and I know some of you want to get to the triangle around 6:30, 6:25, and if you don't, your day is destroyed. It is, right? If you don't get there at that certain time, you are miserable. And so we each have our own routines. We do. We have these basic things that we do, and a lot of them we just don't even think about. And so I want us to begin to think about our daily walk with Christ, our daily walk every day with the Lord, because I think when you begin to think about those things, you realize some of the decisions you made maybe aren't good ones. You know, I think a lot of us don't realize this. We think we really have to think about the big decisions in our life, the huge, giant, big decisions. You know, where am I going to work? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? And there's a bunch of other big decisions that we focus all this time and energy on. But it's actually, if you look at your daily life, it's these small little decisions that actually change your life more than you realize. In fact, sometimes those small little decisions lead to the big decisions that pretty much have already been made for you because of all the things that you've been doing daily. And so one of the things you have to begin to think about in your morning as you get up, as you look out at the world, one of the things I want us to begin to think about is who are we going to be? Who are we going to be today? Every morning you get up and you have to decide who you're going to be. You also have to decide how you're going to live. You may not realize that because you've already made a bunch of choices every day that lead to whatever's going to happen that day for you unless you decide to change. And finally, I think we have to realize this. We get up every day and we have to decide who we're going to become. You see, you've made decisions every day of your life, and you'll make decisions tomorrow when you get up, and you're actually already deciding who you're going to become. By what you've said, what you've done, and the choices you've made. But you can change these things. You can. You can actually every day change your life radically and follow the Lord. You really, truly can. You may not believe it, but today we're going to talk about how we do that. So one of the things we have to realize is this, is we have to ask ourselves, with all these choices we've made, how did we end up here? Think about it. How did you end up here? And whether you're here in the room or you're online or you're on our podcast later, how did you end up here? How did you? What were the series of choices that led you into this place, this time in your life? Because it is not random that you were here. It is not just a set of circumstances that somehow worked themselves out. You made a bunch of conscious choices. You did. You made a bunch of conscious choices in your life to live where you live. To marry who you married, to have the job that you have. You made a conscious choice somewhere in your daily life to be here. Now, some of those things are radically and amazingly influenced by other people. They are. We don't realize how much influence other people's views have in our lives, truly and honestly. I think with the advent of social media, we begin to see those influences in our lives. We do. Let me read to you, this comes from Proverbs 11, verse 14, the first one. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Who are your advisors? Who are you listening to in your daily life? You know, I've often heard this, that essentially we are the sum of the five closest people in our life. We are. So the five people you hang out with the most, those people have significant influence in your life. And if you're hanging out with Jesus every day, that's awesome. But if you're not, who's influencing you? I mean, if you're listening to the news, talk radio, NPR, whatever, those are going to have some significant influences on you too. In fact, I would say at one point in time in your life, Good Morning America or the Today Show had a bigger influence in your life than the church. Is that scary? It is. There are conscious daily habits that we have in our life that are part of who we are, and yet we don't realize how much they have significantly influenced our views on things, our behavior, how we live our life every day. You know, our advisors, the people we listen to, sometimes can be our family. They can be our family. That's awesome. It's your family. Maybe it's a mentor, a boss. It's somebody in your life that makes a significant difference in your life. Maybe it's the church. Maybe the church has made a positive and amazing difference in your life. But if you do not have Jesus in your daily life, if you do not pray, you do not study the Word of God, I don't know how we can claim that one of those influences in our life is actually God. God can't be some distant notion far off that we say, I'm going to talk to God when I need to talk to God. I'm going to get into that relationship, that conversation, when I need it, not every day. And when we neglect that relationship begins to starve and just die on the vine. So what we have to be willing to do is we have to be able to look at our lives in an honest way and say, okay, I need to begin to seek good, healthy influences in my life. I need to seek those good relationships. Let me read to you from Proverbs 11:27. It says, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. You may not realize it, but some of the daily choices that we've made in our lives focus on bad things, unhealthy things, unholy things. And we've walked down that road not realizing that it wasn't good, it wasn't holy, and it wasn't just. And so we have to just walk back and say, okay, wait a minute. Why did I want to go do that? Why did I want to experience that? Why did I want to waste my time, my energy, and my resources on that when I know that it's not good? We have to be willing to sit down and go, okay, who am I going to be in Christ? Who am I going to be in Jesus Christ? Because if I'm going to be a good person, I'm going to be a faithful person, guess what needs to happen? I have to seek after that good. Last proverb, Proverb 11:30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. So where we spend our time is an amazing gift to those around us, right? It is. Look at your life, look at your schedule, look at your calendar, look at your phone. Look at where you're spending your time. One of the greatest impacts in this world is not quality time. I know some of us use that phrase, well, I need quality time with this person or this person. But guess what? That person doesn't want your quality time. They want your quantity time. Yeah, some of you have kids and grandkids, and you know one of the greatest phrases on the face of the earth is, Dad, will you play with me? Or Mom, will you play with me, right? What's our usual response to that? Well, I have this work over here I have to do. I'm busy. I have these other things to do. Or is it drop everything, put your phone up, and spend time with your family? Now, that might be convicting for some of you. You might say, ooh, I didn't realize I was walking into this kind of service. It is preschool Sunday. We're talking about kids and family, but I want you to think about that. How about this one? This is another good one. This one gets me. Dad, will you read to me? Right? Will you read to me? Will you read with me? So, anybody have a nighttime bed routine with your kids? Yes, amen. Yeah, for some of us who have younger ones, it requires you to read 37 books that you got at the library, right? Yeah, yep, about an hour and a half, no. We've had to limit that down to 3 per parent. Isn't that nice? 3 per parent. And somewhere in the midst of that, maybe somebody falls asleep in between the transition. You don't know. But it's a good thing when your kids ask you to spend quantity time, not quality time, quantity time with them that you say, okay, I'm going to. Because if we are so deeply distracted by the rest of the things in our life, whether it be work or school, that we can't spend time with our family, our priorities, our goals are not what they need to be. That's not the kind of life that we are called to live. And that is definitely not the kind of life we're called to live in Jesus. And so we have to sit down and be honest with ourselves. Are you honest with yourself? Can you be honest with yourself? We have to be willing to be honest and say, okay, wait a minute. Where am I going in this world? What am I doing? What are my goals? Who am I becoming in Christ? Or am I moving further from Christ? You know, there's a great scripture where Jesus talks to the disciples, and he actually singles one of them out. He singles Peter out. This is after the death and resurrection, and they're sitting and they're hanging out together, and he begins to talk to Peter about who he needs to be, who he needs to become. Listen to this scripture from the Gospel of John 21. It says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, you know I love you.' He said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt. He was hurt that Jesus kept asking him this. He says, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'You know I love you.' And he says, 'Feed my sheep.' So he says, 'Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep.'" So if we truly love God, what is our response? If we love God and we love our neighbor, we love Jesus, we're a follower of Jesus, what does our life look like? Does it look like someone that would follow Jesus? Or does it look like someone chasing after the world, following the things of this world? That's a tough one for some of us, because some of us have made concessions in our life. We have. We've made significant concessions to the faith walk that we all started on. You may have started when you were young, like I did. I grew up in the church. I had significant influences in my life. My grandparents, my parents, amazing Christian folks that took me to church no matter what. We went to church. Now, that's something I think that some of us have struggled with, right? Even when I was a senior in high school, I was so scared of my dad, I had to go to church, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You go to church. That's just the way it was. And so for some of us, I think we've struggled with that. Because our kids have gotten really smart with all that information out there arguing with us, right? They have. They've gotten really smart. They're also really distracted, and they got lots of other things going on. We, as a culture, have a lot of things going on. Trust me, when I was growing up, that was just the way it was, right? And that wasn't very long ago. That was just the way it was. That was part of our daily life. It was part of our weekly commitments. It was very ingrained in who we were. And so for us today, we have to say, who are we becoming? Who are we in Christ? What truly matters in our life? Again, if you look at your time, where you're spending your time and your energy and all your passion and desires, we have to realize that maybe, just maybe, we're sending some signals to the world that we're not that focused on what we need to be focused on. When Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep," there's some Greek words in there that I think are deeply important. Basically, what he's saying is, pasture my lambs and pasture my sheep. Don't just feed them and take care of them, but help them live a life. Help them live a life in Jesus. He's telling this to one of the disciples, one of the disciples who struggled a little bit, who had denied knowing Jesus. I think many of us probably in our daily life, somewhere along the way, denied knowing Jesus. Whether by word or deed or just omission, some of us have denied that. And there are people in this world right now that need to know the love of Jesus Christ. They need to have that in their life. They do. They need you to be the Christian that you're called to be. They need you to say, "Yes, Lord, I am going to live a life that honors you. I'm going to live a life every day. I'm going to get rid of all those crazy choices I made, and I'm going to start over, and I can rise again every morning, and I can get back up and really be that faithful Christian I need to be. Because I do have the power every day to make healthy, good, informed choices. I do. I have that power every day." And the struggle is this, that it's very difficult to tell that to folks that are younger. It is. As you get older, you have something called wisdom. And God bless you for having wisdom, because you share it with some of us, right? It's so funny because you see some of us making the same mistakes that you made, and often you won't tell us these mistakes until we've made them, because sometimes you have to make them. Other times we will ask for advice, and you are so blessed to share that advice with them. It's called wisdom. And you share that wisdom with us. And you share that wisdom with us because you don't want us to have the same regrets that you've had. I don't want to live a life of regret at the end of my life. I don't want to look back and go, "What was I thinking? What was I doing?" See, if you want to be a good person, a good Christian, a good spouse, a good parent, a good anything, we need Jesus Christ in our daily life. You need Jesus Christ in your daily life. And when you have Jesus Christ in your daily life, you can live a life without regret. You can live a life without regret. You can live that life. You truly can. Because you have the power to make choices every day. I'm going to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. You might say, well, I made a commitment many years ago to follow Jesus. And I would say, no, you made a commitment to say you believe in Jesus. Now you have to follow him. And following isn't just that one-time commitment. Following is a daily thing. You know, Jesus spent about 3 years every waking hour for the most part with the disciples. His disciples were with him pretty much every day. They prayed with him. They learned from him. He taught them. They heard sermons. They saw miracles. They saw feedings. They saw how he interacted with other folks. They saw how he cared for those who were far from God. They also saw how frustrated that he got with some of the religious leaders who didn't live the life that they really needed to. So who are we truly becoming? I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See, what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. Godly sorrow is this. It means that as you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've taken account and looked at your life. You've had a reckoning in your life and said, you know what? I don't want to live my former life. I don't want to be that former person. And as you've seen that and you've done that, you're able to say, okay, I'm going to walk away from that. That godly sorrow comes into your life as if not just not a cloud of doom and frustration, but actually it's something that's freeing because it has you look at your sins and say, I shouldn't do that anymore. It has you look at some of the choices you've made and say, those aren't right. They're not good, they're not just, and they're not holy. And so that godly sorrow leads you to say, I'm going to change. I'm going to change, and I'm going to live a new life. I'm going to live a new life in Jesus Christ. And so it says it leads to repentance. In other words, asking for forgiveness and choosing new life. And then it leads you to go have eagerness and justice and hope and alarm in the midst of the world where you see injustice going on, that you say, I want to go change that. I want that to be different in this world. And it gives you something to get out there and fight for in this world to help those who are far from God. And so I think for many of us, we don't want to live a life of regret. I guarantee you can just write this one down. I guarantee you that as you get to the end of your life, you're not going to go, boy, I sure wish I would have worked a little bit more in my life. That will not happen. If it does, you got some serious problems. That will not happen. What you're going to say is, I wish I would have spent a little bit more time with my loved ones. I wish I would have spent a little bit more time with my family. I don't want those kind of regrets for us. I don't want you to have those kind of regrets. And so today, I hope and I pray this might be a wake-up call for many of us, that as we rise in the morning, we say, all right, I can start again. I can start again right now and live a brand new life in Jesus Christ. You know, I've spent time throughout my life with different kinds of religious leaders, and I was with a group of religious monks at one point in time, and as I spent time with them, they began to explain to me their process of going to bed at night and getting up in the morning, and they get up really early in the morning, but one of the things they would say every night as they went to bed is that they were basically dying to self. That every night that they went to bed, whatever the troubles and struggles and difficulties, all the wars and fights they had spiritually and all in the world, that they would just die that night, and every morning they would rise anew. To be able to not look back and see all the struggles and difficulties, but to see the day ahead with new eyes, truly and honestly rising to meet Jesus every day. My prayer and my hope for you is that for all of us, we might have that same attitude. That as we rise every morning, yes, some of us rise to some decisions we've already made. And yes, some of us will rise to a very busy morning. Yes, we will. But that doesn't mean that we have to reject our relationship with Christ and put it aside until I get to this point in time during my day. No, when you rise with the Lord every day, your life will be significantly better. The lives of your family and your friends will be significantly better when you rise with the Lord every day. When you rise with the Lord, you find hope, you find peace, you find contentment, but you also find direction because your schedule will begin to change. Your daily schedule will begin to change. Your life will begin to change when you rise with the Lord every day. Your priorities will change, your goals will change, your family goals, your work goals, your life goals will radically change when you walk with Jesus every day. And I hope you can make that commitment because you said you believed in Jesus somewhere along the way. Many of us have said we believe in Jesus. Now we actually have to go follow him. And the way that starts is every day when you rise, you choose to follow Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that the call that you've placed on our heart to love you and love our neighbor would be fulfilled. That as you said to Simon Peter, that we are called to tend and to feed, to help those who are in need, but also help the body of Christ through our words and deeds come closer to you. Lord, be with us this day as we seek to be faithful. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.